Well, good evening, everybody. Try that again. Good evening. Okay. I've heard about this Southern hospitality thing growing up in Illinois. We've lived in Atlanta 26 years, and I expect more conversation. I love Briarwood Church. I do. Just without apology. And I just told the pastor here, if we lived in Birmingham, there's no doubt in my mind that this would be our home church. It's a rough commute from Atlanta, as we discovered today, on I-20 with the construction and all that. So we just can't sell out and move our membership here. But God has done special things through Briarwood. Great history, I believe, has an even better present and future that God has planned. How many of you, this is the first time you've been at the National Ministries Conference? Raise your hands. Wait a minute. Keep them up. Raise them higher. Okay, good. Let me just tell you, you're in for an absolute treat. You will be loved on. You will be cared for. You will be encouraged. One of the things that I've been praying for myself and by implication for all of us is that the Lord would deliver us from the desire to try to impress anybody and just fill us, overwhelm us with a sense of gratitude that we get to not only be his sons and daughters, but get to invest our lives serving him. It's a very special privilege, and I'm so glad that you refer to it as a partnership, because that is the right term, absolutely. If you have your Bible tonight, you don't need a big, long sermon. We'll do one of those in the morning. But just about 15 minutes, what I would love to do is just orient you to the weekend. Brian did a good job orienting you to the green form and the ivory form and the every other colored form that you had in your packet. And I said, I'll bet that's easier at the National Ministries Conference than it is with people from all over the world. And he goes, you have no idea. So you don't need another orientation in the logistics, but this is just to kind of calibrate our hearts before we together as a group serve the men and women and boys and girls of Briarwood, not just the church, but the school this week as well. So if you have your Bible, open it up to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. We'll look at chapter 3 for a minute, and then we'll look at chapter 6. And then we will finish our time together. Mark 3:13 says this. And he went up on a mountain, he being Jesus, went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him. And he appointed 12 whom he called apostles, so that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach, to have authority, to cast out demons. And then it names them. If you were paying attention when I was reading, whether you're looking at your Bible or you've scrolled to it or swiped to it, or some of you just have it memorized in the original Greek language or Aramaic, the words of Jesus. But he calls this group of 12 for two purposes. What were the two purposes? Yeah, okay. It's very easy for type A missionary personality type people to want to jump straight to so that he can send them out. Well, that's actually the second reason he called them. Number one was he called them to be with him. To be with him. And then secondly, to send them out. And it's kind of interesting, the two words that we use to describe this group. One word is called disciple, which is at its essence means learner or follower. And so first and foremost, they were to be his disciples, to learn from him. And most scholars figure it was a year and a half of just hanging with Jesus, doing life together before he finally sends them out. And then to send them out is the other title that we use of them, the word apostle. It's the same root word that we get post office from. It means to send something. So they were to be learners and followers to be with him, and then they were also to be apostles that he might send them out. And we in this room, we don't carry the technical title. We're certainly not part of that original group of 12. But we do, most of us have those same two functions. To first and foremost, be radically in love with Jesus Christ. To be followers, to be becoming more like him little by little. But then also that he would send us out, that he would commission us, we could also say. Well, in most of our Western minds, we view things like this as sequential. So we go through a time when we're with him, we're being trained by him, we're absorbing his values, and then that time ends, and then he's going to send us out. Because that's just how our Western minds work, phase one and phase two. It's interesting, you go many places around the world, Walk Through the Bible is now has some ministry, at least, in every Middle Eastern country except for one. And hopefully that one gets some ministry this year. But especially if you hang out in the land of the Bible, you realize they don't see very many things as sequential. They see almost everything as cyclical. Now, it's not round and round and round going no place. It's going toward God's appointed goal for history, but it's not like this. It's doing that in the form of cycles, and there's good evidence for that. This particular chapter shows us that. Flip over to chapter 6 for a minute. Chapter 6, verse 7 says this, "And he called the 12," so this is that same group, "and began to send them out two by two. He gave them authority over the unclean spirits, and then he gives them instructions. Don't pack heavily. This is how I know that my wife and I are not part of this original group. And I'll own it. I don't want to make her look bad. She's a charlatan like your pastor here, so I have to be nice. But we actually need to change clothes now if we're going to use all the clothes that we brought on this trip. We need to make an extra, so I'll be right back in a minute. She would blame it on my size 16 feet, which will mess up the best attempts at packing lightly. So that's all of that's in the original Greek. You can just skip by that there. So he sends them out two by two. And what do? Well, they go out and they proclaim that people should repent. And they cast out many demons, and they anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. It works. The same things as we've seen Jesus do during our time apprenticing with him. Now, here we go out in pairs, and you know what? It works. It works. His power. Secondhand somehow. We still, most of us in this room, I don't understand how it works. But somehow, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, accomplishing their work in us first, but also through us. It's a miracle that we get to do what we do, is it not? I hope that's one of the things that happens during our few days together, is that we just get blown away again. We get to do this. Well, in verse 30 of chapter 6, the apostles returned to Jesus and they told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, so here they are, they're at a conference. This was, after a while, this will go global, but this is the National Ministries Conference that they're at here. They've not strayed beyond the borders of Israel, most likely. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and get some rest." I've seen the schedule that you have for this week. I've seen my schedule and what wasn't full. Carter and Cindy Harsh that we're staying with took the liberty of filling the rest of it in for us. I understand that. And, you know, Birmingham and Briarwood don't exactly qualify as a desolate place anyway. So it's not 100% parallel. But you do get to come and report. And I hope you view that properly when you gather with the missions team from here. You're not there to be scrutinized. Don't view them. Don't have flashbacks of middle school. You're not being called to the principal's office. Okay, share what God's done. Share what God is doing. Share the struggles. Don't go into that going, "Man, We've got a teenage daughter who's rebelling right now. We've got this challenge. We've got that. But honey, we gotta have it together. This is Briarwood. At Briarwood, I mean, it's just a cut above. Nobody in the history of Briarwood has ever struggled with rebellious children. Did you know that? This is as close as you get to a Christian Camelot. You just feel when you drive on the grounds. Don't believe that lie because it's not coming from the Lord. Okay? Be honest. Report the successes. Report the struggles. I have a file in my desk called Great Ideas That Should Have Worked. It's a surprisingly thick file. One of the people who works with me goes, can I look through that? Because I don't think all of those fit the title on there. Some of those were not great ideas. And it's really good that they didn't work. Nobody messes with my file. That's part of ministry, is it not? It doesn't all go perfectly every time. And walk through the Bible. I could take the rest of the night and tell you how many times we've tried something here around the world that fails miserably. And 5 years later, somebody else tries the exact same idea. I mean, somebody part of our ministry, and it goes beautifully. The timing was just off. Okay? So you're here to be encouraged by that. Jesus says, now come on, let's get away by yourselves to a lonely place. Let's get some rest. Why? Because many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. Briarwood will do better than that. They will feed you. And they went away in a boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going, recognized them, ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. They're sailing across the Sea of Galilee, and the group beats them around on the coast. And you can imagine every little town that they go through. Where are you going? What's going on? The master, the miracle worker, he's in our area again. Let's go, let's go. And this, by the time they get there, by the time they dock, there's thousands of people waiting for them. I'm not going to take time to read the whole story because you know this story well. The disciples come to Jesus, and I love this part. They go, Lord, you've been teaching for a while now. According to, according to my hourglass, it's almost out here. And you know, Thomas has his sundial on that wrist, and he's figuring out whenever it gets to that freckle, it's quitting time, Lord. Send them away. Let them get something to eat. Jesus says, no, you feed them. And again, I have what is hopefully a sanctified imagination. I don't know if it's sanctified or not, but, I can imagine the conversation that goes on. You got to be kidding, Lord. I mean, we passed the last McDavid's miles ago. It would take 200 days wages to feed these. Caleb's Catering, they'd need 90 days notice for this. Chick-fil-A Abraham, it's closed today. It's so irritating. They're always closed when you need something big done. Says you give them something to eat. Well, that's impossible. We've all experienced this, haven't we, that the needs of those we're serving far exceed the resources that we have. Am I the only one who has that experience? I don't think so. It's just part of it. What do you have, Jesus says. And they complete this exhaustive search, and they come up with one little boy's lunch. 5 loaves, 2 fish. And forget your Sunday. I grew up Baptist. I don't know. Maybe the Presbyterians did it better. In the Baptist Sunday school curriculum, this is like 5 loaves of French bread this long and then 2 fish like you'd put above your fireplace. You know, this is a little kid's lunch. All right. This is a happy meal. Actually, it's a happy meal because it was Hebrew. I mean, the toy's already broken. The fries have gotten soggy. The Coke was guzzled. They put mustard on his burger, so he's not touched that yet. There's hardly anything to work with. I don't know why curriculum makers think they have to exaggerate how much Jesus had to work with to make it a little more believable. It's 5,000 men, okay? They're not being sexist. That's just how they counted. You know that's probably double that. Maybe triple that. He doesn't need our help with our creative art. It's one little kid's lunch. Jesus takes it and he blesses it. And then what does he do with it? Okay, breaks it. Good. He multiplies it. Then what does he do with it? See, 80% of Christian workers blow this question. They go, then he gave it to the people. He did not give it to the people. Read it carefully. He gave it back to the disciples. Said, you give me what you have, I will bless it, I will supernaturally multiply, I will give it back to you. And what happened when they were finished? Just like tonight. Briarwood will always overcook. Okay, there's leftovers. There are some very happy husbands whose wives have served in the kitchen who are going to have a great weekend. We have souvenirs, parting gifts, 12 baskets full. Coincidence that it was 12? I don't buy that at all. Well, God doesn't care about numbers. Why did he name a book Numbers then? What are we here for this week? We're here because even though they've been with him for a time and then he sent them out, you know what he says? You're not done learning yet. My Middle Eastern friends are right. It's not linear. You don't graduate and then go serve. It's cyclical. And one of the reasons God has brought us back together this week is so that we can learn from each other and be reminded. We may be apostles in the non-literal sense, but at our essence, we're still learners and followers. We've got so much more to learn. I'm so thankful that God has brought Ellen and me to share in this week. We're available very much to serve you. You want to talk? I think we're available from 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. Both nights we have an opening. No, it's not that bad. We've come to serve. We've come to serve. And we're not shocked by anything. And we're not even part of the official structure of the missions committee. We cannot even adversely affect your support if you're squabbling in your marriage. It's okay. Thank you for being here. May God use this time as we report like those excited disciples. It works. It works. But we still have more to learn, don't we? Pray with me. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the simple model that you established with your first followers, with your first representatives. It's all about the multiplication. Lord, thank you that we never get to the point where you shift and you care more about what we're doing for you than who we're becoming. That stays priority one for you. So, Lord, use this weekend. Use this weekend. Give us the joy of reporting, not to exalt ourselves, but to brag on you and to strengthen the faith of the men and women and boys and girls who are here at Briarwood. They need to hear stories of how powerfully you're changing lives all over this land. But also use this time to do a deep work in each of our lives and restore our first love of what it's like, first and foremost, just to do life with you as your disciples, but also for the privilege of representing you to a world that needs you now more than any time in history, I believe. Thank you in the amazing name of Jesus Christ. Amen.